crumbling, crumbling, falling in front of me. Oh, but one day you will see there's a champion in me. It's in my lungs, it's in my soul. When the heartbeat's marching in these streets, like the thunder rumbles when he's...
Family, welcome. Welcome once again. Welcome back to the Revolution is Black Love podcast. Today, Wednesday, February 12th, just a few days from Black Love Day. I know we don't do Valentine's Day. Black Love Day, which was invented, of course, by our dear beloved Sister Ayo. But we're going to be talking today about a very important topic. A couple of weeks ago, we had Grandmother Walks on Water on, and Mr. Bill Gooden. We were talking about their recent elections. What's going on within America. And today, topic we're going to be talking about the fall of Babylon. I thought it was very appropriate considering what's happening with the recent Trump-Musk administration, only a month, not even a month in, and all the various changes and the various upheavals. And we have a really special treat for you today. We have a special guest. You haven't heard from him in a while. Brother Ty, beloved Brother Ty, African-American developmental psychologist, African historian, European historian, just a wealth of knowledge. And so we have a special treat today as we discuss the fall of Babylon, the empire, the American empire in its decline. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started a little bit. Brother Ty, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
So as we speak today, we want to go in a little bit. We know with the recent, the Trump-Musk administration, we have several executive orders that have been signed. We have various events that's going on within the American landscape. But I wanted to go into with our theme of fall of Babylon. We know Babylon in pre-BC era, it was considered a city, a vast city, antiquity, where it was considered one of the strongest powers in the earth. And it was considered a city of commerce, trade, a wealth of people, just vast political power. That's one of the things it was considered. But also it had its own fall. Also, Babylon is also referred to in some groups as the Babylonian city, where it oppressed the people. It constricted the people. And it had to be dismantled, destroyed for the people to gain some type of liberation. Also, Babylon in some places within the scriptures is considered Sodom and Gomorrah at the height of such perversions of humanity, the fall of Babylon. And then also, too, we have Babylon within that word Babel. A baby Babylon. You think about baby Babylon, that is confusion. And it talks about how in the scripture, how a tower was tried to be built by many people and they wanted to speak one language, how God came and confused them and threw them into confusion. And so right now, this moment in time, there is a great amount of confusion. So to unravel that, we're going to talk about the empire, how it begins and how it falls, and also we're going to bring it to today's context within America and the recent elections. Brother Todd, thank you for joining us. Welcome back to the Revolution's Black Love podcast. It's been some time since we've heard your voice of diaspora. Thank you so much. I wanted to get started, and I wanted to maybe get your thoughts. We talk about empire. Often, in particular among people of African descent, we don't talk about America or our situation or Black people in our conditioning within empire or power, I'll say about that, power. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm trying to understand what you're saying. You're saying that as people of color, we don't take into account where we are located at this time in history in America under an oppressive regime. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds exactly what I'm saying. Thank you for interpreting my question and my thoughts.
Yeah, well, the number one thing that has to be understood by people of color, the people that are listening, is the fact that, and it's no disrespect when I say this, most of us, people of color, that is, we don't understand our cosmic purpose, our reason for being in this world. We lost that during the enslavement process. The knowledge of self was taken from us. And when you take the knowledge of self, what a person is, who a person is, what their function is, then somebody else creates a narrative or a story for you. And when somebody else creates a narrative or a story for you, then you become confused. And your entire, how can I say this? Your entire journey or lifestyle, and I'm referring to people of color in America, we have gotten more and more lost in terms of knowing what time it is and what we need to do in order to save ourselves. Because the dominant culture, the white culture, is trying to save themselves because they realize their empire is falling. If you listen to Donald Trump, he's always saying, we need to rebuild America. We need to save America. We need to make America great again. He always used that term. And he's not the only one. And this is why so many people voted for him, because of their loss of power, their loss of power, and they can feel it in the world, in America, around the world.
But Ty, you know, as you speak and you talk about power and the loss of power, one of the things that I had to do in order to prepare for this show, and I had to do quite a bit of reading, one of the things that came to my mind was this thought of empire. Often, we have conversations about America, and particularly in the Black community, African American community, we don't talk about America's empire. And folks, just for reference, I know we always reference various books, you know, so y'all give the references here. I read the book "Why Empires Fall: Rome, America, and the Future of the West." It's very important, by you two UK professors, Peter Heather, John Rapley. Some other references is "How Europe Underdeveloped Africa." Another book that's by Walter.
Get off.
Yeah, that's by Walter Rodney, Fall of America, Elijah Muhammad, AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire by Dr. Nancy Banks, The Half That Has Never Been Told, Slavery and the Making of American Capitalism by Everett Baptiste, America is on Fire and Crumbling by Mr. Bill Gooden, who we had recently on the show. And finally, but not unforgettably, The Dawning of the Apocalypse, Roots of Slavery, White Supremacy, Settler Colonialism, and Adaptation into a Long 16th Century by our beloved Gerald Horn, who we've also had on the show. But the book I want to reference today is, as I was saying, by Ty Red, is called Why Empires Fall. And one of the things I noticed as I was reading the book, it was referring to what was going on. This is published in 2023, about America in the decline, its empire. It kept comparing it to Rome. And I thought that was very important. And it outline in the book, folks, and you should get this book. It outlines what makes an empire, the different components, right? It talked about land, acquiring land, vast amounts of land. It talked about how war was a necessity, a part of it. Some people call that hard power. And then today there's different types of war going on, but needing people to be enslaved or labor. Also talked about networking, collaboration, talked about owning the ships, the ports, the water, settler colonies. Also taught it mentioned about the military is needed, how educational system is need a particular education. The oppressors, the person, the conquerors, their education system is needed. And also alliances. These alliances could be partnership. It could even be having the group that you have oppressed, the person's group you have enslaved or alliance, have them marry into or partner with your group or your family, that creates different types of alliances and allegiances, where maybe a person that was not married into that group or that particular culture, maybe they wouldn't have done things against their own, but now once they make an alliance, they may do differently. But Brother Ty, within these various components of the making of the empire, I also noticed was the weaknesses, also was the foreshadowing of the decline of the empire, was some of the things I mentioned. And so when I think about how America was built, and people forget America is a young country, and really it was considered an experiment. Can you speak to Brother Todd, the importance of placing and really begin to speak to about America as empire and looking at it and how it developed and also its decline as an empire.
Any time you engage in a project such as what you're talking about, developing an empire, it automatically incorporates its opposite right along with the growth of the empire. And its opposite is or are the weaknesses that come with the development of the empire.
You talk about contradictions.
Contradiction, yeah. And what you have, or rather what we're seeing today, is the manifestation of the contradiction between justice and injustice. The injustice is the status quo, the powerful people that want to maintain their empire as it is. And the people, the contradiction are the people that are fighting, what we call the little people on the ground that are fighting, straightened out a situation, a living situation that's not been good for them, because oppression is not good for anybody. Africans, indigenous people here in America, indigenous people in South America, and all over the world, islands, et cetera. Everywhere you look, you got a struggle going on between the status quo that's been in power for a long time against the people that they have oppressed in America and throughout the empire. And the people are beginning to wake up and understand their condition, what has happened to them. And they realize that America is the source of their oppression, is the source of why they are unhappy, the source of the conditions that they live in right now, the poverty that they experience, the mass murders, the rapes, the jailing, et cetera, that's going on all over the world, that's been created by North America, its empire. Because in order to maintain an empire, you got to engage in certain kinds of behaviors. One of them is brute force. Another one is instrumental force. Another one is psychic force. Psychic force affects the behaviors and the feelings of a group of people. How do you do that? It's what, how you educate them, how you talk about them, and through your media, through your music. Oh, black people ain't nothing. They ignorant. They this, they that, they animals, et cetera. So we living in a country that's denigrated us for hundreds of years. So how do you not realize why black people, so many of us, hate ourselves and hate each other? Why do you think we are on drugs? Why do you think we engage in criminal activity? Because It's been set up that way. We've been socialized as part of the contradiction to hate ourselves. But in socializing us to hate ourselves, it didn't affect all of us. And this is why you see so many people in this country and across the world. Brazil, they waking up. They fighting the status quo. The status quo in Brazil, the power brokers, they modeled themselves on the racism of America, white supremacy racism. And white supremacy racism is built on one idea, that white people are superior to all other groups of people, ethnic groups in the world, especially people of color. And when it's and so now we at a point where here's the beauty of the situation. In the process of oppressing people all over the world, they had to give some of their resources back to the people that they were oppressing. And the people that they were oppressing are now using those resources for themselves. Using the resources for themselves to wake themselves up, to fight against the oppression of America and what it has done to them.
When it talked about the expansion of the Roman Empire, and the folks that this one referenced, Neely Fuller, and he talked about the four stages. He talks about the global system of white supremacy, and the four stages he gave is comparable basic to building an empire. It is establishment,
Maintenance.
maintenance, thank you, Brother Ty, expansion, and reinforcement. And I wanted to settle on that stage where it talks about the expansion. When you're building an empire, or as Nellie Fuller said, the global system of white supremacy, you need these folks, but you get them by hard force, brute force, as you mentioned, and they all oppress. But also in the midst of it, which is interesting, but as you mentioned, as you bring them in, you got to share your resources, right? You got to give them access.
And so
And
these
you.
people see, they see you and what you're doing to them. That's the contradiction right there. And so the ones that see this as being oppressed, they have a moral nature. And having a moral nature, they said, this ain't right. So we had to straighten this out. That's the nature that God has put in us to straighten out a situation, part of our cosmic purpose in the universe, to not be oppressed, because the universe is based on Ma'at, is based on balance. The whole of nature is based on balance. And the white man, the white dominated group of people who historically have dominated the world, have created an imbalance in the world. And so that's got to be straightened out now. It's got to be straightened out. That we got to rebalance this situation. We got to bring it back to its natural order. And this is what's happening right now. God, or the Creator, whatever you want to call him, Allah, Jehovah, whatever, is in the air. It's in our nature, and his spirit is waking us up and forcing us to begin to speak up, to begin to stand up, begin to not fear that fear that's been deeply embedded in us for the white man, to not go against him, to be afraid of power. And that's one thing we never understood, we haven't understood, is power. We have to have power, and power begins with the individual. And it grows into a group thing. From a group thing, it grows into a community thing. And from a community thing, it grows into a nation thing. And this is what, when you hear Trump talk, he's an ethnic nationalist. An ethnic nationalist is a person that believes in his own group, that them having power. Not you, a person of color, having that power. I mean, talk that deceit. He talked like he cared. You just mentioned something about Black History Month, including Frederick Douglass and Clarence Thomas. And the hell you gonna have Frederick Douglass and Clarence Thomas in the same room? Clarence Thomas is a bona fide clown who works for the white man to denigrate, to break down people of color, to help oppress people of color. That's part of the contradiction.
All right, folks,
And
buck back by the tie.
hear the beauty embedded in the concept of
Wait a
white
minute, Brother
supremacy.
Ty. Let me just let the folks know what Brother Ty was referring to is during the beginning of Black History Month. You can look it up on the White House website. President Trump read acknowledging Black History Month, and he mentioned he wanted to recognize Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Thomas Sowell, and Clarence Thomas, and he also mentioned Tiger Woods. This is the current president of America recognizing Black History Month, and those are the folks he mentioned. So that's who Brother Ty was referencing. Go ahead, Brother Ty. Go ahead, continue.
And you heard what Sister Tomiko just mentioned, my listeners, and you hear what she said about people that Donald Trump mentioned. That's like having oranges, apples, watermelons, pears, and saying all of them are the same thing. They not. These people that were mentioned, Tiger Woods, is nothing. He's caught up. He married a white woman. I got anything against a white woman, except when they're white supremacists. And that's all he do, run around chasing white females and giving them his money. And he said from the beginning that he's not a black man. So he's not a part of our group. Cast him out. Clarence Thomas, all the decisions he made on the Supreme Court are against people of color, like affirmative action. Come on, cast him out. We don't need him. Shoot him down like a dog. And these are some of the these are some of the types, personalities that come up. Tiger Woods, Clarence Thomas, people of color
But
hate
now I
each
gotta
other.
ask you. I gotta ask you. You mentioned because you mentioned the various personalities. These are what was considered in their address. He considered them patriotic Black Americans. But also, for the last few years, Black folks of African descent in America, our behaviors and the way we talk are almost unrecognizable. At one point in time, Black people agreed on certain things. All of them agree on one thing. They this person is about white supremacy. If this person says something against Black people, it was like a consensual collective agreement. Now you have Black people saying all kinds of things, talking about the ancestors in various ways, talking about Black people. But what I want to ask you is, as you mentioned that, what does it say about the various Black folks that voted for this current administration, for the Trump administration? You have some that basically say, I'm voting for him. What does that say when you have Black people voting maybe against their interests? And then some people will challenge me and say that both parties is against their interests, but we don't go with the first one.
What you need to understand is that white people have created the psychology of people like the ones you mentioned. And they created a psychology that is contradictory to itself, that folds in on itself and kills itself. Really, what they're practicing is a concept. We ain't got time to go into it. It's called nihilism. Nihilism means self, it refers to self-hatred. So in order to hate oneself, you're going to do things to harm yourself. And you don't see it as being like that. So you got a person that's voting for Donald Trump. It don't take a half a brain for a black person to realize that no one should vote anybody like a Donald Trump, because they should realize what he is. He's a white supremacist. And it's only for white people. Don't take but a half a brain there. But here you got black people coming up with all kinds of excuses and saying, I voted for Donald Trump because of this or because of that. It's because how they've been educated or socialized. A lot of them love white people. They've been conditioned to love white people. Why? Because power. They see white people as having the power and the resources and everything that they want to have. So they're willing to sell their soul, sell their minds, and twist their minds around to accept the reality that only white people should be in charge. Only white people should have the authority. So I'm going to believe whatever they say. And I'm going to do whatever they say. Like your Snoop Dogg. Years ago, he was talking the militant talk. Now, he's on the stage, he a buffoon. Him and a lot of other rappers. A buffoon is like back in the day, what you call a court jester. He amused king by clowning. That's all he is a clown. But here's the thing. The black people supported him, put him in that position to become famous. So you got to ask the question, that's Snoop Dogg. Where are all these people coming from that love Snoop Dogg and what he does? How are they thinking? What is your thinking? How are you thinking? You know, we had a point in history. We had a point in the world where it is time to become critical, analytical in the way that we look at things, the way we judge things, the way we judge people. And check this out. Here's why so many of us are going down. We're going to lose. They were more concerned yesterday about the ball game, Kansas City versus Philadelphia, instead of being concerned about what's happening to them, what's impacting them right now, their jobs. They don't know a tsunami is coming. All the things is being done. Man, the ball games are basically a distraction to keep people unaware of their terrible or their dire, D-I-R-E, their dire situation. That's all ball games are. And you go to the baseball, football, whatever. They hire the young blacks because young blacks don't have no mind. That's what I'm saying. They hire them when they're young. They don't have the experience and the wisdom to understand that they're being manipulated. They can make that paper at the Treasury Department, get them all the money in the world. And young blacks, instead of wanting to be a doctor, to be analytical, instead of wanting to be a lawyer, to be critical, instead of wanting to be a fireman or something like that, they want to bounce a ball. Bounce a ball? Come on, man. Black people, we in general, we can do that. We better at it than anybody in the world. But you know what? The system socializes us, educates us, conditions us. Hey, you can amuse me. Bouncing the ball, showing me how smooth you are when you throw that ball in the basket and whatnot. And what I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you a white woman after you finish bouncing that ball and winning the games for me.
And we also saw were for a moment Colin Kaepernick is resisting. He shut that
One,
down.
only one, only one,
Only one.
only one. Oh,
Only
this is
one.
what I just got been
But
saying.
I have not done no football, watched nothing since that time he
So
took
many
that
of us are
stand.
going down. So many of us are going down. And like Curtis said, a lot of us ain't gonna get that ticket and get on that train because we're lost because of our mentality, the way we think about things. We got to turn this thing, if we're gonna win, we got to turn everything all the way around. God, they can shut down the educational system here in America. We don't care. We start our own educational system, an Afrocentric worldview. Linda James Myers up there in Ohio teaching it. We need therapy. We need group therapy. We need to go back and realize one important thing, our history of people who don't know their history. And our history was repressed during the enslavement process. And when you repress a people's history, when you repress your own history, you repress the knowledge of self.
By the time I pull you a little bit, woo, y'all, the roof is on fire. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know it's on fire. Y'all know how we do. Welcome back, Brother Ty. I wanted to speak to, we was talking about how black people unrecognizable, diverse personality, talking really about alienation, talking about culture folding back on itself. You're talking about lack of self-knowledge. When I was reading the book, Why Empires Fall, Rome, America, and the Future of the West, they got a header, and one of the chapters is Things Fall Apart. Of course, we think about the African, I can't call his right his
Hold it
name.
right there. Hold it right there. You're talking about a TV.
Right. So one of the things I wanted to, and we was talking, when things fall apart, people fall apart. Not just black folk have, in a sense, fell apart, become unrecognizable in some ways, but also we're looking at the European. Those
Right there.
influenced
Hold it right
white
there.
European descent.
Hold it right there. What you talking about? Empires falling apart.
And people
The
falling
key.
apart.
Yeah, the key to understanding that is this. Number one, and this is why black people, especially black people that's going to be listening to this show, you need to understand one thing we did not understand about white people when we first met them. They don't have the moral factor that me and you have in our nature. The Creator has given us a nature that's based on morality. The European does not have that nature. When he developed his system, his cultural system, it was based on power. Power, not a sense of right and wrong. That's why he could kill millions. That's why he could enslave millions of people around the world. Not only the African, not only indigenous people in North America, South America, the islands, etc. He doesn't have that same nature. Now, a point is that when you're part of a cultural system that does not have that sense of morality in the people. That is the glue that holds a nation of people together, a sense of morality. And we have finally reached a point where brute force, power, etc., it can't hold the system together anymore because it's never been based on morals or morality, even though you had all the 18th century philosophers, David Hume, Hegel, Locke, etc., 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 talking about morals, etc., etc., etc. This system is falling apart. This culture is falling apart because there is no sense of morality that people have to abide by. There is no sense of rules that you have to abide by. Donald Trump says that all the time. I'm doing my own thing. You do your thing. I'm a crook. I do what I do. You do what you do. He's the leader. And people looking at him and saying, damn, if he can do that, I can do that. So things will fall apart because your leadership is out of order. It's corrupt. There is no sense of morality. There is no sense of right or wrong anymore. So it's going to get worse. It's going to become more and more chaotic. Every day they're knocking off senators and House of Representatives for corruption.
So let me ask you about a time when you said some of the words. So are you implying will there be a civil war?
No,
Okay.
no, you're gonna have problems where people break out like this group called the Proud Boys. Bunch of faggots, that's all they are. What's gonna happen? You're gonna have more chaos. You're gonna have more weird behaviors that are happening. You're gonna have more people jumping out there with the guns and shooting. Most of the white people, they're shooting their own people. They ain't shooting the black people, they're shooting the white people
So,
and the
Brother Todd,
folks.
let me ask you. So, why do you say that? Because some people say, why do you say there won't be a civil war or like a race war or anything? Well, a civil war.
Because you still have a degree of how can I say this? You still have a degree enough people in the different communities that believe in stability. You got you got communities of Muslims, you got communities of Christians, you got communities of Jews. You understand what I'm saying? These people are stable. They're not gonna run around half crazy, half naked. Like, what's that boy that just had his wife on the show? She opened her fur coat up. What's his name?
Talking about Kanye West on the Grammys, at the Grammys, yeah, that
Yes,
was cool.
she took off her fur. She's buck naked underneath there. That's supposed to be his wife. That shows you somebody that's basically insane. He insane, and she insane, and you cannot follow people like that. Anybody that follows people like that, they just as insane. And you should be able to look at situations like that weird, you call them weird situations. They're not weird. This is a manifestation and a result of living in a world based on materialism. And white supremacy racism is based on what you got. I got more than you, so I'm better than you. And if you ain't got more than me, you're gonna become depressed. Understand what I'm saying? People always striving for more and more and more. That's how the society is set up. And if somebody got more than you and you can't get it, you can become anxiety ridden. You can become depressed because you don't have it. So we end up with, so people lose their minds chasing that dollar, trying to live. You
This
know,
is like Nnamdi Fuller often says, if you don't understand race and white supremacy, what it is and what it does, everything else will confuse you. You talking about a person's reality. They don't understand the reality. They're not in reality. That's what you're referring to.
yeah, they're not we see, and that's what I mentioned earlier, people of color are definitely out of their nature, out of their original context, out of the knowledge itself, because we come from a communalistic type environment. It was see, we had a spiritual as well as a material environment. Right now, we're living in a wholly materialistic type environment where everything is a fraction, everything is in parts. It's not holistic like the world that people of color have came from. And so we imitating these white people, and as we imitate them, we go more and more towards death. We go more and more towards being weird like them.
So let me ask you about something you said. You said we are fractured, and really, you saying like
I
we
meant that.
cannot. yet we cannot see ourselves. It's like our reality has been
Well,
blocked.
it's the educational process. Remember, educational process does not teach, especially African people, African descendant people, does not teach us anything about our history. And it's important to understand the reason why they won't teach you about your history. Anybody that controls the culture of a particular society, of a particular community, of a particular nation, controls the consciousness of that group of people, because it's because culture defines, gives definitions of what is right and what is wrong, and it also defines who you are, how you define yourself, what you are, and how you should behave in that culture. So white people denied us the knowledge of self. We knew who we were when we got here, the first load of Africans that came over here. We knew where we came from. We knew our fathers and mothers. We knew our ancestors. We knew the empires that we had established. We knew that we were a civilized people. All that was lost when we began to accept a different narrative. And the narrative is derived from the type of culture that we became a part of. And so that's why an Afrocentric point of view, therapeutically, we got to go back to if we intend to survive in this materialistic world that we live in today, because it's dead. It's falling apart. And it's going to get worse. And black people will start, they're already killing one another. That hatred.
I wanted
Go
to
ahead.
mention folks, as Brother Tab mentioned about the conscience. One author that goes into this even more so, and by the time I reference it, is Amos Wilson. Dr. Amos Wilson wrote an excellent book, Falsification of African Consciousness, is very important. And also, Brother Tab, you just mentioned identity. Another book by Amos Wilson is Black on Black Violence, and is it in support? I forget the exact in a white supremacy, and it talks about the identity crisis. Go ahead,
Well,
but I just want to mention that for the
ISIS paper.
audience. And the ISIS paper,
ISIS paper.
Dr. Francis Cresswell saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
Ooh, it's a lot. You're putting it down. It's a lot.
we're right now, we are in, this is a good time. It's a good time because everything is breaking down and coming apart.
So let me ask you,
Oh.
so this is, so people may say, well, I'm running scared, they upset, they say they're abolishing the Department of Education, they fire the people from USAID, and things, they say, I saw a video, America's on fire, somebody say America. So you saying within this, though, this is a good time.
Yeah, you see, and then people need to understand. See, we, especially people of color, African descended people, I'm pinpointing them, but it refers to other groups. We have been constantly oppressed. And if you think that you are free because you can go to a job and you can come home to a house and you can drive a Lexus or Mercedes-Benz, and you can go out and spend some money and get a prostitute or a freak or whatever, and you think you're free, you're not. We are still locked down, psychologically locked down. We don't know what it is to be free. We do not know what it is to be free, because we don't live in a free world. And the white man, that's why when Tomiko said falsification of African consciousness, your consciousness has been falsified. You suffer from amnesia. You suffer from anxiety. You suffer from an alienated personality. You are outside of who you really are. You don't know who you really are. You're a robot. You are an imprisoned person.
Let me ask you, Brother Ty, as you mentioned that we outside reality, but also you mentioned that this is a good time. And I think in some ways I agree because this is
Incredible.
forcing Black people African descent to deal with the reality. And also another thing, folks, I had, we also mentioned the show, the various books that we have read and research prepared for the shows, but also you should be listening to not just the radio shows, there's Black hosts and Black music, but you should listen to the other shows, other podcasts by white speakers, by folks that are white supremacists, by folks that are nationalists, because we need to hear how people feel about us. We should not be afraid. On YouTube, there's a lot of YouTubers, and it's not just white folks, the people in blackface that talk bad, and they are unrecognizable on the things they say, but you need to hear them. We need to listen to them, how they speak, because I think, as you mentioned, but see, it's forcing us to deal with our situation and our reality as is. It's like buying as is, just as is right now. Can you speak to more to how this is an opportune time to get back to ourselves
Well,
somewhat?
the beauty of, see, we're in a world right now where things are falling apart. And when things are falling apart, it's not the usual support systems to help you out. So, Black people have been comfortable, they've been asleep. Amnesia is an, amnesia is the number one amnesia and alienation are the two most prevalent diseases in the Black community. And so we have been able to become comfortable living like we've been living. So now, because of the things that Donald Trump are doing and others, and things are breaking up, and it's causing us to begin to reevaluate our situation, our jobs, our family, where we live, the politics, the educational system, our children, et cetera. It's forcing us to begin to do that. And as you begin to do that, you have to also look at yourself in the way that you've been thinking for years and begin to see. And one of the things that's going to come out, all the lies and deceit that's been going on to indoctrinate you, to fool you into accepting the way things are. And the only way that Black people can live like they've been living, they had to be out of their mind. White people set this up. This system is based on domination. And domination simply means one person on top and another person on the bottom. Here in Baltimore City, who do you think own everything? Go downtown, them big buildings. Go down Fells Point, Federal Hill. Who own that stuff? Black people own one or two buildings here and there. That's it. We, the majority of the population, especially in Baltimore City, D.C., the same way. Got some millionaires, some with some paper money. Do we own the factories?
I wanted to insert what you're saying, Brother Ty, because you're talking about dependence. You mentioned domination, but also under system-wide supremacy of building an empire, which is built on dominance. Also within that, when I was reading the book, Why Empires Fall, part of that is you have to have the people be dependent on
Oh,
the empire.
yes.
And let me say this, Brother Ty, I'm gonna say this. One of the things is the book mentioned, and we have in America, and I want to ask you about this, They call them cradle to grave welfare programs. We know in America, a lot of folks are a lot of people, not a lot, are dependent on the various, these various, they call them cradle to grave welfare programs that was established during, I believe, mostly the Roosevelt era as a way, but people generations later are still dependent. And we have an administration now where these folks are billionaires, businessmen, and I don't think they're feeling those like that, and cuts are happening. How do people, black people, how do we deal with this? How do we, as you say, get ourselves together and deal with our reality? Because they're making cuts. They already tried to, what was it? Cut the funding, and the nonprofits got upset, the nonprofits, the workers. You know, these are programs people have been dependent on for generations.
Well, Tammy, one thing you, everybody got to understand that America is a welfare nation. It was set up like that, especially for people of color, to make us dependent on them. Remember, it's always been about oppression. And when you oppress the people, you don't want them to be self-supportive. You want them to be dependent on you for food, for clothing, for safety, for water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what does that do? The ultimate objective is it cripples the individual or group of people from ever thinking about becoming self-supportive, which is the natural and normal way that an ethnic group is supposed to be moving and grooving. Self-supportive. You don't depend on another ethnic group to support you. People disrespect you and hate you. And we are hated, and we have been hated all around the world. And that the reason why that, because white man then lied to all these different countries about who we are. Say, look at them. We got to do this for them. We got to do that for them. But now the truth is coming out. And at the same time, your question, Tommy, poses another dilemma, another problem. How do we begin to separate ourselves and become self-supportive? We got to begin group therapies. Wherever community that we live in, we got to begin to come together. Whatever the groups are talking about, they're talking about helping black people come together and lay down what issues we have in that particular community and build on that. Whatever groups that's going on, it's talking about black people. They need to go into the community, get with those groups, and bring out the real issues that are coming down on us right now.
You know,
Economic, educational, social, political, etc.
because one of the things you speak
And
to,
you cannot depend on a lot of these people to call themselves experts.
one of the things you speak to, but you talk about the dependency that has been created generationally, and that is one of the ways how empire is built. But also, as you mentioned earlier, that's the contradiction. Because after a while, you have all these generations of people dependent on the government and where it stands, right?
One right there.
Let
One
me
right there.
finish. Let me finish. And at where it stands now, America, the debt, $1 trillion, and then you have all these people dependent on the government. You can't sustain that after a while.
That's right. That's a
Go
contradiction
ahead,
right there.
Right, exactly. So something got to be cut loose. Something got to be let go. It's like the ship's sinking. You start throwing stuff off the ship, so the people on there, because the Bible, you might even throw some of the bodies off the ship for your own survival.
You're gonna throw a hat if you
Hey,
don't throw a hat to white people.
come on.
Yeah, listen. There's a group that's south of here. We West. The group here in the West is called the G7. seven European nations have been coming together for years and setting the agenda, international agenda, economically for the world and how to rule it, all the G7. And they produce a certain amount of GPS products and resources, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They had the wealth. Now they're being challenged by a group in the South, Russia, China, India, South Africa, Brazil, and some other nations are joining them.
You're talking about BRICS. You're talking about BRICS.
And they are now producing more than America is producing in terms of having economic wealth and power. This is why America is declining. She's not the number one power broker in the world anymore. Somebody else can shove them out of the way. And this is why your billionaires are scared to death. They part of the status quo. So what they gonna do? They're gonna say inflation. Inflation is another way of charging the little people under them more money for the goods and services that they provide. They got a lot of dummy corporations out here called zombies. And these dummy corporations, how they exist is they keep borrowing against the debt that they already owe. What I'm saying to you is that America is so deep in debt that you can't pay it off right now. So the billionaires, this is why they run it. They're scared. What they're doing is, that's why they're cutting off this. They're cutting off that. They're cutting off this agency. They're cutting off that agency. And they're coming after you next, especially you, the dummies, the ones that voted for Donald Trump.
Wow.
So
you're talking about the declining, you're talking about, and with this administration, would you say we have the acceleration of the decline, the falling apart?
Mm-hmm. You can't stop it.
You can't stop it. Come on.
You can't stop it. And Donald Trump can't stop it. It can't stop it. China alone owes so much money, man. You can forget it. And they about to include half of Africa in their portfolio. And Africa got the resources that America would love to have.
And so within this is an opportunity for the nations of color, because when something falls, something rises.
Join together, yeah.
Mm.
And remember also, as America falls, you're talking about the dollar bill. The dollar bill is becoming more worthless. And so you got to begin. That's why I said that black people got to begin to come together. Along with all the groups of people, ethnic groups, you got to begin to come together and say, what can we invest in? Gold, silver, what other kind of resources? Diamonds, minerals. We got to start our own factories. We got to start our own businesses and whatnot. Transportation. You know,
I wanted to read something. And when you said factories, we know. Folks, if you don't read, that's why our story is so important. Kwame Nkrumah, when he was president of Ghana, that was one of the things he started doing right away, creating, building factories. The speed at which he was doing it. There now, you go to Ghana, they are sitting, because of course we know it was a coup. His own people, by means of use of the West, helped overthrow him because he was moving so fast and making these international collaborations. But he was building factories. Also, one of the ways you build empire is a saying that he who controls the waterways, you can control the world. And so we know with our beloved Marcus Garvey, one of the things he got was a ship that was very phenomenal. It was profound. And that was shut down partly from us, our own people, with our various ways of thinking. Not necessarily, but Not knowing, or not just in our minds, education. But the West, that was a threat to the West. Just imagine the connections that he would have made, you know. But I wanted to do, Brother Ty, something you just said about, oh, America can't come back. You said the decline. A quote from the book. This is the last chapter of the book, and it has the death of the empire question mark. And this is like one of the final paragraphs, but it says. Before I read this, the previous paragraph, they're giving suggestions on maybe how the empire could be saved, the American empire, et cetera, et cetera. It says, but whatever happens, the West simply can't ever make itself great again in 19th and 20th century terms. The fundamental structures of the world economy have shifted in too profound a fashion for that ever to be possible. And some of its leaders need to stop pretending that this can be otherwise. Nor, if there's going to be any honesty at all about the degree of force and exploitation on which that modern Western empire was originally constructed, should anyone mourn its passing. You know, the days show the fall of Babylon. They're saying, why should anyone mourn? But they said, you know, this saying you mentioned about make America great, that would never happen.
Never.
It would never, it's gone too far.
Well, like I said, it shifted, and people of color. See, historically, the white man said, "How can we create a situation, a system, where we can dominate the world's peoples of color, the whole world, the people of color?" And because they were afraid of people of color. And a racism is a defense mechanism people need to understand. A defense mechanism is set up to protect you from what? Who do you fear? They fear people of color. And so they the system was white supremacy racism and based on colonial exploitation. And but that has shifted now. A lot of the these countries that were under colonialism, they didn't broke that hold that was that these countries had on them, these Western countries had on them. And
One of the things is that whole some a lot of some of the Western countries, African countries, where they are trying to stop the importing of so much Western goods into their country, which help expand the empire. So they say, no, we don't want that. We're gonna produce our own, which is what Kwame Nkrumah. We're gonna produce our own. We're not gonna be that dependency on the Western world. They have taken those types of things.
And that's when they killed what's my boy name? They killed him, the Muslim brother, Gaddafi, because he wanted to start a United States of Africa, and he had the resources and the money to help them get it together. And now the West said, "No, we can't have this." That's why they killed Patrice Lumumba. That's why they killed Amilcar Cabral. That's why they try to kill Jomo Kenyatta of Kenya and all the other revolutionaries. And that's why they depose your boy you just mentioned, Ghana.
Kwame Nkrumah, and also Amilcar Cabral, but and it mentioned that in the book how when these folks, those type of leaders, rose up, how that's a threat to empire, right? And they have to be
Boy in South America that just died. Venezuela.
Chavez.
Chavez, yeah, they killed him.
You know, but how they have to be neutralized. But one of the things I wanted to say that. Those that I'm getting it's this is intense, it's emotional for that type of resistance from them to our folks inside the prisons, like George Jackson, our beloved
Not
Malcolm.
many. That's what.
Let me say this, because this is a question I had. Fannie Lou Hamer, that type of resistance to the empire, it also begins to crack it. It begins to aid to the decline of it. And that's a part of the people's response to no, we're not accepting this. this oppression. So I think about all the various people, the ones I named, there's some of them, and those we don't know, who always stayed on their square. That was an aid into the decline in which we are seeing now, and the liberation that could be met by people. We stand up and fight. We must resist, though, and that's important. That's important. As you was saying about the things we need to do, how the Department of Education, let it fall, they let it be abolished. It
Well,
pushes us. Go ahead,
all
go
the
ahead.
teaching is a Eurocentric paradigm, and the Eurocentric paradigm is based on white supremacy, racism,
But it
and
forces us back into the position of resistance, back into self.
well, we want to resist. That tells you that we're alive, that we're thinking, that we're trying to get back to our original self. Our natural self, and that's the only way we're gonna gain power. It's the only way we're gonna have power is that we
Ooh.
gotta begin to acknowledge ourselves. We got to begin to acknowledge our own history. And it wasn't just an enslavement process. We go beyond that. And I'm not talking about studying something just to say, oh, we had this empire, we had that empire. No, it ain't about that. History is about teaching you how to survive in the world. What you need to do, your ancestors left you instruments, resources on ways to navigate the system that you are a part of. And without the knowledge of your history, not anybody else's history, but without the knowledge of your own history, you're dead in the water. Your self-esteem comes from knowing who you are. Your self-respect. If you got self-respect, nobody can oppress you and get away with it, but you won't stand for it. But travel through any corner here in Baltimore City, and you see those Negroes, those young boys standing on the corner. Their spirit been broken. Ain't nobody taught them anything. Because the ones before them, their fathers and mothers, either in jail or dead or on dope. They had no self-esteem. They had no pride in themselves, because if they did, they'd be taking care of them babies that they done made.
Wow, I can't believe it. The time to pass back just a few minutes. Wow, folks, if you tune in.
You need to get a bus and ride past every corner when we learn how to control our community and pick them up and force them on the bus and take them out somewhere in the country and retrain them.
Wow, now
And don't let them come
wouldn't
back. If they
that
come back wrong, shoot them.
fun?
Shoot them down. Because they ain't no good. Because right now, they dysfunctional. They ain't no good to us. The young people ain't no good to us. The ones on them corners.
I want to as we begin to wrap it up, I can't, we didn't even take a break. This thing's only been on a few minutes, but it's been, folks, over an hour. I wanted to say, and it's important to also want to mention, folks, we're talking about the empire. We referenced the Roman Empire, American Empire, but also we came from an empire. That's how we partly got here. We are like a settler colony within a colony. The ones that enslaved, they become part of the empire, and they help maintain. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
The enslavement process, what most people ain't understanding, is it was the fall of African civilization. It was the end of African civilization. So what you see right there is empires were falling with that for the last 4,000 or 5,000 years in Africa. They were coming apart. They were rising. They were in existence for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years. But the prophecy was put out there about us. It was anybody rises will eventually fall. and ours came to an end when the European began to enslave us. When he came into Africa in the 15th and 16th century, that was the end of African civilization in terms of empire, in terms of nations.
Come on now. Ooh,
So
no.
you see us at our end. That was our dead end right there. We had been in existence for thousands upon thousands of years before there was anything called a white man. But before the Greeks, whom we taught, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates,
And it's important to mention, folks, America is a very young empire. I mean,
the
very young.
Republic only been in existence 240 years.
Yeah, that's young. That's so the gig is up. The run is finished compared to thousands for thousands of years. But Ty, as we this has been phenomenal, folks. Y'all know everything done burnt up, right? The roofs, the walls, everything. This has been phenomenal to have you on, Brother Ty, speaking with such clarity and honesty, and just truism. I wanted to ask you, as we go into the next 4 years, which would be a time we can see change, upheaval, a lot of pivoting.
You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be
Okay,
afraid.
not to be afraid. What should be Black people? What should be our next move during this next 4 years for Black Love Back podcast? We say it should be total blackout. We got to fall back on self, on culture, self-determination, independence, reliance on each other. Go ahead.
Kwanzaa just went past, right? We need a whole year to remember the principles of Kwanzaa to be
That's
put into
nice.
effect. We need
That's
to begin
nice.
to support an Afrocentric methodology in terms of our worldview. We need to bring out those brothers and sisters that can teach how to come back to that. And first, the knowledge, especially the young people, need to be taught, and the old people too. They need to begin to understand what it is that has occurred to them. We need the knowledge. The Bible tell you that. Without knowledge, we ain't got no vision. We need the knowledge. That's the first thing. And we start right there, in our own communities. Who can teach it? Who got a knowledge of this thing? Can we come together in community centers? You know how we used to teach Tommy Cole down at Druid Heights?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's it right there. We need to come together like that. Somebody that's will welcome us in, and we can begin to teach and to lay out what the problems are that confront us as a group of people. And when they see what confronts us as a group of people, and when they see that the white boy is about to cut off all the resources that they've been getting from them, then they're gonna realize it's time to do something different.
Time to do something different. Wow. But I thank you so much. Wow. Thank you for that amazing insight, your analysis, your historiography that you gave to us today, folks. On today's show, the Revolution is Black Love podcast, The Fall of Babylon. And as we just read from the quote, it is no reason to mourn. Let it fall. Also, we got two excellent suggestions from Brother Ty, and I thought that was excellent. Kwanzaa should be extended. It should be taught all year round. And it should be, it's also a call to action in what he said, those that can teach. And also goes towards the education system being abolished and really talking about public schools. I remember one sister the other day, she said, mentioned they was she was sobbing. This is a regular sister, not some sister got Afrocentric name, none of that. She was just like, good, because she said my children didn't learn anything anyway. I was like, wow. So she said, I didn't want to homeschool teach my grandchildren. So this is opportunity for us to really take the reins of our reality and our narrative and
Your
teach.
number, we call you.
Yes, and if y'all want to get in contact, you can email us Africa400Radio@gmail, or you can contact the website. We are under Ham Radio. My producer, Brother Richard, is always available. But this is a call to action for those teachers. One time we had Saturday school, and this amount of teaching next 4 years is total blackout, y'all. If you didn't get the FY, the memo, you're getting it now. It is a blackout. It's time for us to return to self. But Ty, thank you so much for joining us. A diaspora audience got a real treat today. Folks, are going to go out as we did in the beginning, Georgia Q. Bloodlines from the movie Birth of a Nation, that was produced by Nate Parker. We're talking about our nation, right? That movie's talking about the rebellion and gaining one's freedom and liberation, and they had to be physical, but gaining their liberation by any means necessary, the birth of a nation. Family, black love, and black power.